One of the biggest challenges of earning a degree while on active duty is transitioning your lifestyle and goals from military service to academic studies. National University gets it. As a top educator of the U.S. military, they provide dedicated military support and advising services, credit for your military experience, and all the benefits of a military-friendly school. That's why 30% of their students are military-affiliated. NU, education that serves those who serve.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of season 4. If you just joined, I'm Robin of At a Tired Witch on everything. And I'm joined by the beautiful Maria of Maria the Arcane on everything.
Hello. From everywhere and everything.
I literally just dawned on me that we only say on Instagram, like, that isn't our usernames on literally everything. The only place that A Tired Witch is not my username is Twitter, and I don't use that platform anymore anyway, so
yeah. Does anyone anymore? I feel like it's just tumbleweeds now.
Well, thanks a lot, Elon. Oh my gosh. Welcome everyone to this episode.
So as always, we like to mention the class that we're having this month, and it's going to be on death magic, like just death magic 101, and it's going to be hosted by Hannah Hadidi of Morning Light Divination. And we're excited for this class, and I think it's perfect class for October. And if you work with spirits, you work with transitions, you work with endings, or if you even work with like gods like Hecate, Hades, and of that sort, I mean, tune in.
Yeah, this is going to be a great class. I've taken classes by Hannah before, and they've been so insightful. And I mean, death magic is my whole thing. So if I'm still finding it insightful, I think that if you are new to it, you're going to find it very insightful. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great class. We're very excited.
And once again, guys, we have our merch store, which has amazing, like really cute, like Halloween goodies. Please check it out, because I went ahead and I ordered a couple for myself.
And we have a bunch of, like, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but we have a bunch of really new designs that Sammy Michaels did for us that are so cute, including a little sheet ghost, which is also very much giving Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I figured out how to connect. Me and my big brain have figured out how to connect our merch store with our Instagram. So if you do follow us on Instagram, we now have a shop right on there that you can browse, and you don't have to like click through a million things. So hopefully that makes it easier for everyone.
I'm so glad one of us is really good at technology, because
I would not say really good. I think that that's being a little bit of a stretch, and Katie is listening to this and she is laughing.
We figure it out. I'm that like grandma meme with the glasses. Huh? I can't see. What am I doing?
It's like I said the other day. You are the boat, and I make the boat run. I'm the engine, and it makes for a perfect balance. If you just joined us, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your personal practice, in your magical practice. As a reminder, these are not check-ins based off of your personal astrology. This is just how we can utilize it for magic and hone that energy as best as possible. So that being said, I think this new moon, so it's going to be the new moon in Libra on October 14th. So let's start with that. But I think this new moon is super funny, because if you are looking up stuff about this particular new moon, maybe I'm the only one who like gets notifications, push notifications to my phone, but they're all like, this is going to change your life. Get ready for your world to be radically rocked. And I'm like, all right, relax.
Oh, you know what? You know why? It's witch season. So
Gotta get
those snappy headlines. Gotta get them.
Let's just start off with the elephant in the room. And that is the fact that this is going to change your life, no more so than any moon. I'm not trying to be a downer, but First of all, it's a new moon. It's not even a full moon. It's not even a super moon. It's not a blue moon. Like, let's all just have a relax. It is not going to rock your world in the way that they want you to think. Sorry. But what it is going to do, what this moon is really great for, is this moon is a like true reset. So all new moons, we kind of have this opportunity for new anything, right? So we can focus on new projects. We can do quote resets on things, etc. But because the Libra new moon specifically brings in this kind of low energetic tempo and it brings in like balance into our lives, it's actually like a really good time to do real, true, literal resets. So we are looking at things of where in our life do we have imbalance. If you're somebody who keeps a journal before moons, this would be a really good time to take stock on the things that perhaps are really just thrown out of skew in your life, and then make a plan for this new moon on how to bring that balance back magically. So let's say hypothetically, you are finding yourself very overwhelmed with work or school, something like that. We're talking very like mundane, non-emotional things, right? This might be the time to do money magic. This might be the time to do focusing magic for your schoolwork. It might be the time to do a like a true self-care reset where we are going to cleanse ourselves of unwanted energy to bring that balance back. That would be my focus if it were me. And so I'd be looking at two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to things like plant allies. Things are really low for you. Let's add some things into our life like holy basil, like dragon's blood. Look at spell work in that. Things are a little chaotic. Let's bring in things like lavender. Let's bring in rosemary, those calming, healing energies. And that is the focus. What about you? Do you think there's anything I forgot?
Well, for me personally, I like to, since Libra is an air sign, I would, I don't know, for this moon, I think communication, like how often, like looking at communication, like and balancing it out. How often are you listening to other people's opinions and not giving your own? How often do you let other people speak over you and you don't get to speak your truth? I think that this would be a great moon to set the intentions to amplify your voice a little bit more, or even like voices of those of people who like have problems like lifting up their own voice if you want to be kind and help other people. But I think, you know, working with this moon to remove blockages when it comes to your voice would be a good idea to do personally. And I actually, on this month's monthly outlook for Magical Beginnings, I did put a communication opening spell. So if you are part of a Patreon, give that a look-see.
Yeah.
So if you just joined us for this episode or haven't listened to other episodes so far this season, in lieu of choosing a card and discussing it like we have been doing, we've been having like conversations about the whole different sections in tarot, like the minor, the major, the ones, the fives, and now we're on the court cards. But anyways, this week we are discussing our thoughts on the queens in tarot. So the queens for me are equal in power when compared with the kings. They just rule in their own separate ways. The queens are the nurturers, the reclaimers of power, the great balancers and communicators, the mother archetype, most definitely. Like imagine them as parents with different methods of parenting. They have fought like hell to get to where they are now and to be taken seriously. They know when to be compassionate and share time with others, but they also know when they need to like take time and take care of themselves. So when they pop up in readings, it is asking you about balances in your life, such as work-life balance, listening to other people's opinions versus giving your own, sharing your growth or energy with others versus keeping parts of yourself hidden, being emotionally available to others, but also knowing when it's not time to be emotionally available to others. They care deeply for others, sometimes to a fault, which may come out like in readings as being unhealthy, not only for you, but also for others. These queens don't hold back in letting you know what they want or need to thrive, unlike the kings who keep these things under like a veil of stoicism. I don't know if that's a word. But communication being out in the open for them is very important. They know more gets done on both sides if there is an open line to it. Obviously, when these queens are in negative spots upright, all these things become stifling and smothering, which reminds us how important it is to, like, how important balance is. Like, we can be part of people's lives, but we shouldn't reign over them.
Totally.
So how do you view this card? Well, the queens.
I completely agree with you. I view queens in general as mother cards. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the quote femme archetype, the idea of what that means, right? Mm-hmm. And I use femme in the terms of stereotypical ideas, not in the terms of like actual woman versus man, right?
Yeah. Yep. Because everyone has like masculine,
right? Feminine. Every human like being alive has archetypes that are both masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. Even if we only have a very tiny, tiny bit that we maybe attribute to ourselves, mm-hmm. it lives within us all, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I view it very much so as the stereotypical like nuclear mother ideas. Mm-hmm. You have the swords. She's clear cut. She is the boss. She's the matriarch of the house. She makes decisions for herself. She's also the only queen that doesn't have a king. Fun fact. Mm-hmm. and then we have the full opposite, right? We've got the Queen of Cups, who is the nurturer, the loving, the perhaps even a helicopter mother sometimes. and I just view this very much so as the idea of the nurturing parent. Mm-hmm. Whether that is a mother or not, it is the nurturing parent, because you've got balance, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And everybody has that nurturer. Again, everyone has that nurturer inside of them. It's just maybe that's not the role that you always default to. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. you don't have it.
Yeah. And like, it could be like caring for friends. It could be
totally. No, absolutely. It doesn't necessarily mean like literal children.
Yeah.
You know, you always have that mom friend. Every friend group has the mom friend.
Hi.
Yes, my brother. But I think there's of course a lot of nuance to these things. And I think that as a demographic of individuals, mm-hmm. We are shifting away from these feminine versus masculine archetypes, and they're bringing them back up into other forms and androgyny, etc. Mm-hmm. But I think that if we just, I mean, my belief, and it's totally okay to counter me on this. but I do think that we all hold these kinds of things. We have femininity and we have masculinity and we have androgyny within all of us.
Yep.
And I think that it's, I don't know, a feeling rather than a role in this case.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
I hope that makes sense.
That is. This week, for our main segment, we decided to talk about spell casting, like how me and Robin like to do spells uniquely and talk about like what that looks like for us. I feel like I don't think we've done an episode like this before. So
no.
Like, I just think going through it step by step, how we do it uniquely, would help others like kind of make their own spells too, and then also realize that witches like are totally different. Like, I'm actually excited to hear how Robin does hers, because I don't think we've really gotten
We've ever really talked about it. Yeah, this is exciting.
I think you've had peeks into how I've done it, because you have done like my monthly rituals for me when I'm not feeling well.
We were literally just talking about this like before we started recording, to the point that I said, okay, we have to start recording.
So, first, like, what do you do leading up to doing spell work?
Oh, that's a really good question. It really depends. So in general, it really, really depends on like what the spell work is for. Mm-hmm. So typically for me, in most spell works, mm-hmm. I will plan it out several days, if not weeks, in advance. Again, depending on what it is. So like if it's something that's like
pressing.
Yes, if it's pressing, then obviously I don't have that window to work with. But in most cases, I do. So we're going to go under the most cases
thing. And not really. But anyways, go ahead.
In most cases. Well, my problem has always been that I'm very analytical when it comes to spell work, and not analytical in like my faith base of it. Mm-hmm. But analytical in the, I want to make sure I have everything that I feel is right. Mm-hmm. And so unless it's pressing, and even if it is pressing, I'll do pressing spell work. And then I'll like usually reinforce it somehow with like something way more planned.
Yeah.
I like to really map stuff out. I usually take time to like journal on it and like write my own spell work and then work backwards from there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So like I write the full spell out and then I work backwards from there. And then usually leading up to it, like I will give extra dedications at my altar leading up to it with the premise of, you know, I'm going to be doing this, like, because I don't know where my energy levels are going to be at that time. So for me, at least feels like a booster.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yes. What about you?
So, like, before a spell, let's say best case scenario, because sometimes the witchling dogs and wife have to stay like in the space, I like to move everyone to their own spaces so I have the space to myself. Sometimes, you know, that like isn't possible in like emergency spell situation. So I like put on noise canceling headphones, let everyone know that, you know, mama is spell working, let me be. Like make the most out of like a less ideal situation. But I typically like to put on something that makes me feel witchy, such as like satiny clothing and robes, just something comfortable, because as someone who is neurodivergent, the last thing I want to be thinking about like while I do spell work
is that tag itches.
Exactly. I'm getting too hot. This hoodie's like itchy. You know, if it is at night, I might like partake in like legal
devil's lettuce. Yes. Interesting.
To help me put in the right frame of mind. But I find that doing breath work beforehand instead also helps me in the daytime, like if I'm doing a spell in the daytime as well. I also like to cleanse my space. I call my deities, my guides, to lend me a hand in my spell by lighting candles for them. Oh, and speaking of which, I like to take time to get like some ambiance started if I have time for it. Like lighting a ton of candles, having the windows open, have some good smelling incense going, just like making it as pleasing as possible for me. Which does include some decluttering, because if the space is cluttered, my mind is going to be on that. But last but not least, like I think amplifying, as you said, whatever energy you have before a spell is a great idea. I typically do this by dancing to music, but I've also been known to do some jumping jacks to get things going.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
You're lying. This girl's out here doing goddamn burpees before she gets started.
Hey, if it works, it works.
I mean, fair enough.
But if I'm having like a full anxiety moment, for me, that's enough energy. And yeah, honestly,
that's so fair.
I honestly, sometimes I have to do breath work to help chill me the you know, F out before like I completely move forward. But yeah.
You're so funny.
Thanks. I try.
Oh goodness. Okay, so then we've got the spell work foundationally prepped, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I've talked about this is what we were talking about before we started recording, but how we call the corners. Mm-hmm. When do you do that? What does that look like for you? Et cetera, et cetera.
So, okay. So when I call the corners, I like to say what the corners are known for, like air for inspiration and blah, things like that. And also like to include in like, you know, north, south, east and west, the below, the above and center.
I just think that's so genius.
Well, I wish I could take full, like, you know, thanks for
credit
that.
For it.
Yeah. I actually learned this method from Kate Blue, who was an instructor for our class last month for mm-hmm. Word Retreat at a Tane Wild retreat. And I just took it and kind of made it my own because, as you said, like before we start recording, it's genius. Like, and it makes sense, especially
it's so
for
genius.
Spell work. Like,
it's
it
so
makes
genius because you have the understanding of calling the corners and the mm-hmm. watchtower. So, like, I call the corners only in really big workings. For those mm-hmm. of you who don't know what calling the corners is, it's calling the watchtowers. It is essentially hitting all the cardinal points and their quote watchtowers, the elements associated with them, etc., mm-hmm. to join you for your spell work and also protect you within your circle. Mm-hmm. I think it's genius. I never thought about this. The above and the below, because you also can then incorporate as above, so below within it, which is like a paraphrase of a verse from the Emerald Tablet. For mm-hmm. those of you who are not familiar, the full phrase is that which is above is like that to which is below, and that which is below is like that to which is above, which has been modernly paraphrased to as above, so below, which is the meaning of essentially, I mean, there's a lot of schools of thought, but generally it means, you know, that which will happen in heaven will also happen within earth. It's a connection between us and the divine. Mm-hmm. us and the beyond.
Yeah, I see it as like, and also spell work wise, bringing your dreams down to reality.
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. it's all the same thing, right? But it's the general boiled down version. I'm yeah. sure if some angry occultists are listening to this, they'll be like, well, actually, and we'll get into it in a way more deeper philosophical way. I'm literally breaking this down into a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's why we're not going to be sharing our like entire things just yeah. because it's so individual and stuff like that. Obviously if you're on Discord you've seen and heard mine, but
but I think it's really genius in that respect, because while you are calling the corners, it's also this acknowledgement of the divine and the earthly, and I think that that's really beautiful. I really do, and I'm gonna start incorporating that into my own, because I'm a very big air quote believer in the phrase as above, so below, mm-hmm. In my personal practice, because I really do believe that the things that we, you know, have in the divine, in the mm-hmm. other, etc., is connected to us on the earthly plane if yeah. we so choose for it to be. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really wonderful. The first time I saw that when I was taking over for you, I was like, oh, Maria's on to something here. This girl is really smart.
I also like the idea of including self, you know, the center of your spirit, because it's part of the pentagram, you know, spirit. Like spirit not only represents the outward spirit, but also your own. And there is a center of the pentagram and a center of the circle, and you're in that center. So why would you not include yourself within it?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm like you. I only call the corners for like larger workings, and I do view my home as a sacred space already because it's massively protected in my daily and weekly workings. Okay, and then it has to be a super, super big ritual for me to actually include physical elements of the spell. like me giving offerings to each of the elements. Mm-hmm. Because I already give that a lot just like every day. So as part of absolutely. My like offering practice. So yeah. Does that make sense? Did that make sense? How about you? Did you want to mention anything else about your circle, your corners and stuff?
Nope. I just really wanted to touch on how wonderful I thought the as above, so below was. I think that was so, like, the, well, that's not how you said it, but how I'm adding it in. I think it's really wonderful. I just really liked that a lot.
Well, me and Kate, thank you.
You geniuses, both of you. Okay, so we've called the corners, etc. We're working on our spells. How do you choose your ingredients for spell work?
Okay, so when choosing ingredients, once again, as always, this is my personal opinion. So your opinions might vary, but whatever. But one must look at the folklore.
Wow, defensive.
Because I know somebody is going to be like, actually, you know.
Actually, before we get into the next part of this segment, we are going to talk about things like deciding to dress candles, ingredients, etc. I think it's a really important time to remind you guys that this is how we do it. There are so many different paths. There's so many different practices. And just because you don't do it this way doesn't mean that we're wrong, and vice versa. If you don't do it the way that we do it, doesn't mean that we're more correct than you. And so I think it's just important as we go into this to remind you guys that a huge philosophy here, Coffee and Cauldrons, is hearing other people's opinions helps us, you know, either foundation on our own or grow from it. So just take it for what it is, take what resonates, leave what doesn't.
Yeah.
So go forward with what you were saying.
Yeah, make it your own, basically. But one must look at the folklore, medicinal use, appearance, how it grows, if it's a plant, what it is used for or has been used for, its appearance, and even like your own feelings and experiences with the plant or ingredient. I'm not a big fan of adding ingredients willy-nilly just by going off what a spell book written by someone else says. If you don't know why a plant is being added, I personally feel that it is hard to connect with the spirit of the plant necessary for the spell. Is it possible to do it? Sure. But knowing why things are the way they are only deepens your relationship with your ingredients. Plus, I think it's also a great way to learn like witchy knowledge, like as you are doing spell work, like you're proactively doing something, you're learning by doing, at least for me personally. How about you?
I mean, I think a really big foundation for my herbal correspondence is rooted in the why, the why we have these correspondences. And I'm very inquisitive and I'm a really big believer in understanding the reasons that correspondences have the meanings that they do, as well as my own personal connection to herbs and the experiences that my life has had that has led it to me associating things to it. And that's what I base it off of. 100% I base it off that. And I don't know, it's one of those things that if I'm going to use somebody else's spell, so not something that I have written, I kind of like meticulously fine tooth comb it and go over each herb that's in it, and it's like, why did they use that?
Yeah.
And then edit and modify it from there.
Exactly. And if a herb does not make sense for you, like when you are looking at like a spell, you can always like change it out with your own. You do not have to follow a spell like verbatim from a book.
Yeah. I think that's a really big misconception, especially for anybody who is first getting into witchcraft in any form, that they have to follow it exactly or something terrible will happen. And I just don't believe in that at all. That's not been my experience. I don't know, take with that what you will.
Yeah. So how do you decide like what type of spell is necessary for your working, like candle, spell jar,
well, spell, etc.? Listen, I'm a one trick pony. I'm not actually one trick pony, but I almost always default to 7-day candles because that is where I find my practice has the most potency and power, but there's going to be situations where that's just not going to work. Like, for example, my husband went away on a business trip. Mm-hmm. And so I made a poppet. I made a chippy poppet. And for protection, obviously, to make sure that he would get there safely, that it would be successful, and he would come home. Because I just didn't feel that the candle in that scenario was going to be enough for what I wanted. And, like, I made, like, a tag lock for it that he took with him. And, like, so, like, using that as the example, I felt in that moment that that was more powerful because I was doing it for somebody else. Yeah. That person was aware of it. I had the tag lock, etc. But for me, I usually like, let's say 80% of the time I lean to 7-day candles. Mm-hmm. What about you?
So for me, first and foremost, I like to use my intuition to guide me on, like, what method to do my spell in, just like how you choose 7-day candles. But, you know, sometimes I'm pulled to do something super simple, like breaking a twig in half, or like a spell might require a candle, a cord cutting, and a bottle, and of course, you know, everything in between. If my intuition isn't pulling me in any certain way, this is my method. Like, small candles, like tapers, chime, birthday candles, are for super fast and rapid spells, or used to 1,000%. Ignite something. Spell jars are for long-term spells that might be slow to grow or manifest into being, but they need that time to cultivate so it is done right and more comes, and, you know, the spell, like, more comes from the spell. Mm-hmm. And spell bags are mainly for the portable aspect, and burning things are to either send the intention off into the world through smoke or to banish. Like, and not spells are quick spells to do when you need something done fast and can be easily undone. Like, you want something to happen temporarily and then you just undo the knot. Obviously there are many exceptions to these rules, even for me. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard. I think it's really hard to make it like a simple, oh, I always use it for this, or I always use it for that.
Yeah,
I
feel like it's not always the case.
Yeah. And it's one of those situations where, like, it really depends. Like, for example, like, the protections around my home, I don't use candles for that. I use railroad spikes. Mm-hmm. And those are spells within themselves. Yep. Those are spells, but they, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where if it's not something that, I don't know, this is so hard to explain. I don't use jars that often, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, actually use them very rarely. I use jar spells if it needs to contain something within it that would not suffice for a candle. So, like, if, again, going back to the protections around my home, there's a jar of piss under my house. I in no way could put that on a candle. I mean, I guess you could, but that feels crazy.
Could you imagine the smell?
Already dealing with a topic that to a normal non-magical person would sound fucking crazy. Yeah, so it's one of those things that I really, it's hard to explain as, like, a simple little snippet.
Yeah, as I said, like, there's some spells I literally do, it's just, like, breaking, like, a twig in half. Like, it's, you know, very unique and very small, and it doesn't have to be, like, a ton of ingredients. It could be, like, a single ingredient, like your robot's spike.
1,000%, yeah. Okay, so we picked our type of spell. So this question, I want you to break this down, like, in a sentence, if you can do it. What does this look like doing spells for you uniquely in the thick of spell work? So, like, you're in a spell. I want you to try to make this, like, a sentence. How can you do that? Not to put you on the spot.
A lot of envisioning and intention setting.
Yeah.
But, okay. I define intention setting as remembering the why to your spell in this instance, you know, like, why are you doing this spell? Why are you adding this ingredient? Okay. Mm-hmm. Those two sentences.
Wow. For me, I try I'm using the word try loosely, for getting into a trance for spell work, of just really like meditating, concentrating on exactly what I want to the point of it being trance work. Mm-hmm. So I use like over the head headphones if I can. Trance work for me, I have found to be the most beneficial in spell work.
Yeah. I actually tried to do the trance aspect before the whole ritual. So ooh, I'm going to call it important. Just because you go into it.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I think, do you do a lot of envisioning and stuff like when you handle like the plants and stuff like that?
Yeah. For me, that happens in the preparation. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily during the actual like spell work or ritual.
Oh wow. Well, I do it during. Obviously, you know this. I obviously know this because you've done my rituals, but like
I've done your spells before, girl.
Yeah, I like to like take deep breaths and then close my eyes and connect to the spirit of the plant right before I add it. Like if I'm connecting, let's say, to sunflower petals.
See, and that's a big reason why I don't think I could do the Discord rituals like you could, because you have that in the moment connection, and where I would be like, all right, everyone, we're going to meditate for the next 20 minutes on this idea. And I just don't think it translates as well for a group setting.
Yeah. Oh no, they might dig it. And you know, like with the sunflower petals, I may like envision a happy memory from being outside in the sun, or just feeling overall happiness and contentment under being the sun's rays. But yeah, that's what I do for envisioning for each ingredient.
Okay, so now your spell's done. What do you do with it when it's completed?
I feel like we get this question so much.
I think actually the final question for this segment, our final prompt for this, is actually the one we get the most. And I don't think we've talked about it enough. So what do you do when it's done?
But what we do with the spells after they're completed. I will, it depends. Like, if I'm doing like a banishing with a paper or something, I'll just like recycle it. But I try to keep like bigger spells on my altar for a full moon cycle. And then I go and either bury it or like return the ingredients in nature. And I also reuse a lot of things that go into like my, let's say my spell bottles. Like I'll reuse the crystals, I'll cleanse them, and I'll use them later after the full moon cycle. And I will wash out the bottle and reuse it. But that's what I do. What do you do with your spell?
Again, it like depends on what it is. But considering the fact that the majority of my spell work is with 7-day candles, I typically cleanse the space afterwards. I try to clean the jar as best as possible, and then I recycle it. I know some people will reutilize the jars, but like refill them. But I've had instances of doing that, and the glass is weak. And so that it explodes, and then it becomes like a whole situation of like, you have on one hand, you have the question of, is it exploding because of something that has happened within the spell? Or is it exploding because the glass was weak from heat? And for me, that's caused way too much internal conflict of interpretation that I just don't do that anymore. So I just recycle the jars.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, recycling's good anyways, so. And you also reuse your wax, too. That's like
I do. Oh. So if I have any, like, chime candles that have wax afterwards, I save them and I use them for a like end of the year release spell, where I will melt down all the wax and just like give gratitude for the spells that I have done that year. It has no other purpose other than a like a moment of gratitude. Yeah, and I think it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure actually I've written about it on the Patreon.
You have. But yeah, okay, so the other question we're asked most often, what is your after the spell ritual?
Let's circle back to the trance. The trance work. And I typically use that as a closing out for like, again, giving gratitude, giving thanks. If I have got something that is happening at my altar, it is sitting with offerings. It is giving, again, gratitude. It is giving offerings, because I do work very specifically with Santa Muerte, and I work with spirits in general. I always take time after spell work to give, like, just as much gratitude to those that I'm working with, first and foremost, and then I take time to ground afterwards.
For me personally, I like to pull cards after rituals, just to see, like, just kind of like a check-in about how the ritual went and stuff like that. And then and then I do just kind of, like, as you said, sit and restore myself. If I can, I go outside and just, like, relax outside for a little bit. And I'm also, like, a big believer. I know you do something salty, but I do something sweet. So I like to have something sweet after a ritual to help get my energy.
Salt. No, wrong. Salt. We're going to fight. Salt. Salt under the tongue.
But typically, I do most of my spell work at night, at least lately. I work with a sauna a lot too, but I have not been lately. But at night, so I literally, sleep is my grounding ritual after a spell.
That makes sense though. Spell work takes a lot of energy out of you. And I think this is going to be just the last thing I'm going to say before we wrap up this segment. I think that a lot of new witches, or even witches that have been doing it for a really long time, often forget is that you are expelling energy to do spell work. And doing too much of that, you can burn yourself out quite bad. So make sure that you are giving yourself that space to recuperate from your spell work, that you are grounding, that you are cleansing off old energy. I know some people say, oh, I don't know what cleansing is. I don't think anybody knows what cleansing is. Cleansing is literally cleansing off the excess energy left from your spell work. It's like spell work is like going and working in the garden. Afterwards, you're going to have dirt on your hands. Clean it off. It's the exact same thing. So just make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Obviously, as we said at the beginning, you know, everyone has a unique way of doing spell work, if that is not apparent by our differing opinions. So make your spell work practice very unique to you and what feels right to you. All you can do is listen to other witches and how they do it. You do not take on, like, a total other witch's, like, entire practice. Like, you make it your own. Please make it your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. So, I've actually been really enjoying, like, outside during, you know, autumn and all that, and hunting for, like, foraging, like, new plants and stuff to work with. Like, I don't know what it is about this year, but I have found so many amazing plants that I haven't found anywhere. But this also could be because I'm actually... my wife and I, like, go hiking. Like, we try to go hiking once a week now. But in my backyard right now, I have non-poisonous sumac growing. I have wild morning glories growing. Sorry, my voice. And then I have some blue mist flower growing. And then we went to one of our favorite hiking places, and I found freaking beauty berry, wild vervain, and oh my gosh, what else did I find? Oh, I found wild sage, not white sage. wild sage, but I did not even harvest that one because there wasn't that much of it. What else did I find? What's going to be spice berry. So if you guys don't know what spice berry is, it's like little berries that grow, and they taste like allspice, and you can use them as a replacement in spells for allspice. And I also like to say that I don't eat what I forage. I just use it for spell work. So there is no chance of me getting poisoned. So please forage wisely. And if you're going to ingest it, also ingest wisely. But, yeah. But no, it's just been
clean it.
Yeah, it's just been so beautiful. And I've been enjoying my time very much. My wife and I went hiking last weekend and we sat near a little tiny waterfall and we like journaled and pulled cards and it was nice and cool. I was like, oh my gosh, if it could just be like this in the South for the whole year, I would be so happy.
All the time.
This is actually what we call false fall because it will either be at the end of October, right before Halloween and during Halloween and until like mid-November, it's going to get hot again. It's going to be like 80s, 90s, but well, it is still 80s, but like high 80s. But enjoying it while it lasts. But yeah, that's what I've been digging.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
I'm so glad you asked.
Well, you're so welcome.
My own nose is not stirring my cauldron this week. This always happens every year in autumn when it goes from being like a billion degrees outside to being like so cold at night.
Yeah.
In the daytime, 2 weeks ago, it was like 108 degrees out. And now at night, it's like it was 29 degrees last night overnight. So my nose just does not know how to deal with this like weather change. And I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I can't breathe for like the first 3 hours in the morning. It's horrible.
I'm so sorry.
It is what it is.
I also heard like some allergen right now is also super unnaturally high. But I forgot what
I have been sneezing like crazy. So... Maybe you're on to something there, girly talk.
Hay fever time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm miserable and I wish to die, so take notes. If you just started listening to us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. These are organic finds found by Maria and I. They are not paid for ads. They're just people we're digging. And that said, this season we started incorporating listener submissions. So if you have somebody that you think is so very cool and awesome, go ahead and send it to us. We can't promise that we will share them, but we will do our best. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like this, I don't think I've ever talked about this sort of thing before, but it's Petals and Poison. Mm-hmm. And their like tea set lines are so cute.
So cute.
So ridiculously cute. Like all the different pots and the cups that come with them. I want them like really badly. They are on the pricier side, so it might just be like, I'll just gaze from afar. But they are so cute, and their little tea blends too, like, are, I don't know, they look delicious. But I don't know, like, their store is like super cute, and they have a lot of super cute things, including like jewelry. Like, they have a pumpkin, like, Halloween ring that is also.
I'm looking this up. This is so cute.
Right? I like their page. Like, their Instagram page is really, like, aesthetically pleasing.
Okay, I will look out. I might buy some.
They have like little tea strainers too, the kind that you like put over your cup and like pour, and they're so pretty. I die, but yeah. So who you been loving?
So Cat Coven is a brand that I believe I've actually mentioned before, like in season one, but they just came out with these really cute little glasses that have like vintage inspired cats in Halloween costumes. And they're so cute. They're like a little set of glasses. And I'm like, I don't know if you, maybe I'm just really old, but do you guys remember when McDonald's used to give out glasses?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they are cute. I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah, like when McDonald's would give out the little like Muppets Disney ones. And Disney, yeah. And they had like the silk screen print on mm-hmm. it. They usually like give like a set of four out at a time. It's like that, but they're just cute little like Halloween parades.
Yeah.
So cute.
So cute. I will take them, please.
Who is our listener submitted choice this week?
So this was sent to us via DM on Instagram, and it's an Etsy shop. It's the Clover Patch Clay Co. And they, this is going to be right up your alley because it's literally mugs and pottery, of course. But it's like cute little witch shops, like on a mug. And they are super cute, and so cute. I would really like one. Please. So, but definitely check out their Etsy shop because there's so many cute goodies. Mm-hmm. As with everything, this is pottery, so they go fast.
You gotta be like lightning. Yeah. Ka-chow, ka-chow, ka-chow. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We'll see you again on Friday, October 13th for our Coffee Talk episode, or on October 20th for the 20th episode of season 4. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us on October 28th on Patreon for our class with Hannah Hadidi of Morning Light Divination for Death Magic 101.
Yeah, and additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part two episode, a huge library of articles on witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions.
She's got no idea what she's saying.
I can speak. And we also have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yeah, and if you are loving our sexy, sensual, just... really hot voices. Take that's a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. Thank you to everybody who already has and everybody who will in the future. We appreciate you.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch.
And I'm Maria from @MariaTheArcane on everything. I almost said on Instagram.
Are you ready?
Yep, yep, yep.
One, two, three.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.